Good evening. Welcome back to church. We are going to continue our study on eternal security. This will be our ninth message, and one might ask, why do we spend so much time on one topic, one subject? Because outside of salvation itself, the eternal security of salvation is the greatest thing we have. Being saved is the utmost greatest thing you have in your life, is Jesus Christ. And the second greatest thing is that assurance that you have, through Christ, eternal life. Not on your own, not because of yourself, but because of Jesus Christ. We'll get into all that tonight. You know, when we preach messages like this, these messages are not preached to make people be saved. They're not preached to cause people who don't believe in eternal life to convert over to it. The Bible's not written that way. The Bible's written as a message from God the Father to you as a believer. The Bible's not written to lost people. Never was. God never tells us to do anything in the Bible. So pay attention to it, read it, study it, approve ourselves, approve our lives, and move on through life. The Bible is here for your benefit. And when Brother Mosier, I'm sure when he put these together, because he was a sovereign grace man, I'm sure when he put these together way back yonder in the day, I'm sure his thought process was to give believers a great assurance that their eternal life is a fact. God never goes into the Word to prove his existence. He says in Romans 1, you look at the heavens, you look at creation, and that makes you without excuse if you don't believe in God. Same thing with Jesus. He never asks anyone to be saved. He doesn't never ask anyone to believe. He commands it. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shall have eternal life. You're without excuse if you do not believe. But those that do, we have given them 70 reasons thus far to understand why they have eternal security. Now, as we get started tonight, I know that some of these fall in place and they look the same, but when you look at them, and I'm going to give you two comparisons tonight, one we had Sunday and the one we're starting with tonight, they look like the same, but they're not. And the difference makes them different. We went to Titus last Sunday, Titus chapter 1, where the Lord said that God, for God is not a liar. Or God cannot lie. Therefore, he promised us eternal life. That's to assure us one thing, that whatever God says, we can take it for granted. Now, if you'll turn your Bibles to, I'm sorry, the second one we'll have tonight goes to that point. If you'll turn your Bibles to John 14, we're going to start tonight where we left off Sunday night. I wanted to leave off Sunday night and start here tonight, because this is one of the most important parts that we need to look at. 71 is because the Holy Spirit abides in us forever. The Holy Spirit abides in the believer forever. He says in John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, I pray the Father and shall give you another comforter, that he might abide with you, how long? Forever. What's forever, folks? That's never separating. The Holy Spirit is our new comforter. And he shall never, ever, ever separate from us. He is an eternal part of us. And he says the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. Think about that. Christ says, I give you a comforter, and he's going to abide with you. But the world can't accept him. They can't believe on him. They can't have him because we don't get the Spirit. The Spirit comes to us. The Spirit quickens us. The Spirit causes us to believe. The Spirit brings knowledge and understanding and fruits and everything to us. Amen. He doesn't leave. He stays. He's forever, the Lord promised. Remember, these are promises of God, promises of Christ, promises of the Holy Spirit. Because it seeth him not. That's the reason it can't receive, but you do, don't you? When people mock people for talking to God or God talking to them, God does talk to me. He talks to you. If you're saved, he does. Neither knoweth him. They don't understand the Spirit. But you know of him. You know him. Why is that, Lord? For he dwells with you. But don't stop there. Here's the good part. He shall be in you. Amen. He's taking up residence, beloved. And the Lord has promised he's forever. He'll never leave. Thank God. Even when we go to heaven, the Spirit's with us. He's our comforter in this life. 72. Go to Numbers 23, if you will. I jumped ahead of myself. This is the second part of the lying part. First, it's God who cannot lie in Titus 1. Our 72nd point is, because God, not being a man, can't lie. We can trust God. There's not a man on this earth that will not lie. All men are liars. God declared that in Romans, didn't he? Let all men be liars and God be true. Now, first of all, in Titus we learned that God cannot lie. Second of all, don't ever compare God to a man. He's not. Too many people in this world compare God to a man. He's not a man. Men lie. Jesus never lied, but he was God, wasn't he? He was a God-man. He knew no sin. He didn't know how to lie. It wasn't in his DNA. It wasn't part of him. But us it is. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Thank God. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? In other words, if God has promised it, he's going to do it. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good of it? God makes good on every promise he's ever made. So when Paul wrote to young preacher Titus and said, God who cannot lie promised. God can't lie, it's not part of him. It's like Jesus. Jesus couldn't have sinned because it's not part of him. And God explains it here in our 72nd point when he says that God cannot lie because he's not a man. You never trust men. You trust God. 73. You can go to Psalms 136, but I'm not actually going to read that chapter of scripture. But our 73rd point is this, because his mercy endures forever. We keep hearing that word forever, don't we? I said Sunday, you know, young girls and young boys, they tell each other they love each other forever. I love you forever. I write it 100 times. I love you forever. I put it on a tree. Then they married some other guy named Joe. That's not the way God is. God loves us forever. His mercy endures forever. 26 times. 26 times in this psalm, Psalm 136, he writes, his mercy endures forever. Just look at it. You'll see it over and over. I think some scriptures have it twice. His mercy endures forever. God hasn't given us a mercy that expires. God hasn't given us a mercy that will end or ever go away. God's given us a glorious gift, the gift of salvation, which was brought to us by love, grace, and mercy. God had mercy upon you. It's the reason you're saved tonight. People are not saved because either God didn't have mercy upon them or God hasn't shown that mercy to them yet. We don't know who has mercy and who don't till someone's saved. But once they're saved, we know that they have the love, mercy, and grace of God, don't we? John 6, if you will. Let's go to number 74. Reason number 74, eternal life number 74, is because it is the Father's will that Christ should lose nothing. Now, we learned that Christ should lose nothing, but why? Why is it that Christ will lose nothing? Well, in John chapter 6, verse 39, he says, and this is the Father's will which sent me. God who cannot lie. God who is not a man that he should lie. God who cannot repent and change his mind. God who does not take back those things that he gives. God who gives everything that he promises and completes every promise. And God whose every predestinated will is carried through with. And this is the Father's will, that of all which he giveth me, Christ said, I shall lose nothing. Because God promised him he would not. The Father gave us to him before the foundation of the world. And since he did, he knows he will not lose anything because the Father promised him he would not. Number 75, 1 Corinthians 15, if you will. Number 75 is because the believer has been born the image of the heavenly. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of earthly, we shall also bear the image of heavenly. This is not our image. It was our image one time, but God has changed us, hasn't he? This world is no longer our image. We are no more the world. We are God's children. We are the redeemed. We are the ones that God chose out of the world and sent his son to this world to give his life and blood on that cross to make us different. And we are different. Even if we fall into sin, we're still different. Because we are the children of God. We are a heavenly image and no longer a worldly image. Go to 2 Timothy 4. for our 76th point. If nothing else in this Bible teaches you the eternal security of God, this one will. The greatest thing we have in the 5 points of what I call sovereignty of God, TULIP, is the P. Preservation, perseverance. Our 76th point is, because a believer is preserved unto the heavenly kingdom. We don't earn it. We were given it. We were given our sonship through Christ by the grace, mercy, and love of God. We did nothing for it. We're going to get to that in a minute. We did nothing for it. God gave it to us. And when he made us his children, he made us his eternal children. And we can no more keep our salvation than how much than we did when we earned it. We didn't earn it. And we can't keep it. God keeps it for us just like he saved us. We must learn as children of God that God takes care of us. Go to 2 Timothy 4. It says, and the Lord shall deliver me from the evils, from every evil work. Listen. And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. God has preserved you. That's perseverance, preservation of the saints. Fifth point of 5 points of grace. That right there is a single guaranteed promise of God. Because you can't be lost. You cannot fall from grace. You cannot lose your salvation. No matter what you do in this life, you cannot undo what God had done. You had nothing to do with it. If we could, we would. We're sinners saved by grace. If it were possible, the writer to Hebrews said in Hebrews 6, if it were possible to fall, we would put Christ to an open shame. Why is that? Because Christ has eternally saved us and the Father has eternally preserved us. When you were born, you were already preserved. Your preservation didn't start when you were saved. It started when God chose you before the foundation of the world. Your life has been ordained of God all the way through, preserved. I passed this church today. I could have died many times in my life, but I didn't, because God has preserved me for this job right here in this church, in this pulpit, to preach this message tonight. God has preserved us, beloved, and to him be glory forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. Go to Ephesians 2, if you will. For number 77. There's two kinds of people in this world. Only two. The elect and the non-elect. We don't know who the elect are until they're saved. Once they're saved, we know that they were elect of God, don't we? There's only two kinds of people in this world. Those that are loved of God and those who are not. There's only two types of people in this world. Our 77th one points that out. Because the believer is the object of God's mercy. Yeah, the ones that God's given mercy to, and the ones that God's going to give wrath to. There are only two types of people in this world. Those who are saved, those who are going to hell. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, whereas he loved us. Go to John 3. John 3. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. That's the mercies. That's the elect. That's the love of God. That's the saved. Go to John chapter 3, verse 36. This is the second one. Well, it includes both, but the second one is what we'll look at here. Verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son, how? He that believeth on the Son, what do you have? You have everlasting life. You're the merciful. You're the ones that received mercy. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. What shall they see, Lord? The wrath of God. Every one of them. So you're either the ones of mercy or you're the ones of wrath. There are only two types of people in this world. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Because we want to look one more scripture here. So while the wrath of God abides on them, it will never abide on us. Remember, we are the objects of God's mercy. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. You'll never experience the wrath of God. I'm not going to say you won't see it. I'm saying you'll never experience the wrath of God. But to attain salvation, how? By our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, it does not matter. We shall live together with him. Amen. But God hath not appointed us to wrath. Wrath is anger. God doesn't get angry with his children. He's not a man. He's nothing like a man. God is a spirit. Jesus is the Son of Man, but also is God. Go back to Ephesians, if you will. We have two scriptures in Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Number 78, the reason for eternal security or the proof of eternal security. The 78th reason or proof is because a sealed and witnessed transaction is final. It's not temporal. Verse 13, Ephesians 1 says, in whom you also trusted, that after you have heard the word of truth, that you've been saved, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you've believed, after you were saved, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Spirit. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And real quickly, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 says, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. And we were sealed, never to be separated from that seal. Preserved. The object of God's love, grace, and mercy. And people want to believe that Christians can be lost after they're saved. That there's no such thing as eternal security. When all 78 of these points have done nothing but prove absolutely positive that eternal security is a guarantee. Amen. A promise from God the Father. You know what their problem is? Hebrews 9. You know what their problem is? They have attained salvation. You don't attain salvation. You obtain it. O-B-T-A-I-N-E-D. You have obtained salvation. They have attained it. A-T-T-A-N-A-I-N-E-D. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by his own blood, he hath entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You have obtained it. And you obtained it in Christ Jesus our Lord. The very one who went to heaven and sat on the right hand of God himself. You know what's the difference between us and them? Is we have obtained salvation. It's given to us. It's a gift. It wasn't earned. I didn't make a choice for it. I didn't turn over a new leaf for it. I didn't work for it. You know what I did for my salvation? I did nothing. How hard is it to understand salvation is a gift of God? You obtain it from God. You obtain it. Number 80, Ephesians 4, if you will. Number 80 is, because the believer is a new creature, created. You are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. therefore eternal life. You have received, and you have received eternal life in righteousness, because you are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. You're not the old person anymore. You may sometimes act like him, but you're not. You are different. You have changed. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 24. It says, and that you put on the new man. What kind of new man is that? Which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. That's who you are. You are a new person. You are no longer the person you were. The person you were is the old creature. You, beloved, have a new you. An eternal you. You have obtained it in Christ Jesus. It is a gift of God to you in Christ Jesus. So you put on the new man. Totally different, totally new. You know what the difference is? The old man is after Adam. The new man is after the new Adam, which is Jesus Christ. You know what that tells us? It's like being born again in John 3. You know what being born of water and spirit is? Being born of flesh and spirit. The two births the Lord talking about. You know what the two Adams are? You're born in this life under the old Adam. You're born again in the new life after the new Adam. You're no longer following the old Adam, you're following the new Adam. You are a completely different person than you were before you were saved. If you're not, you were not saved. People make decisions, they make choices. They work for their eternal life. They try to make it in this life as best they can. Folks, that's not Christians. God's given us a gift. And that gift is not in us. It's in his Son, Jesus Christ. And God has promised us all of these things. All, what are we at now? We're at 81. We have looked at 80 of the 100 things that God has promised to us. And what God has promised to us is a gift from God to us, preserved for us. He has preserved us to make it through this world. We have nothing to worry about. God's got it for us. We can't do it on our own. We can't make it on our own. We can't keep ourselves saved. We're unrighteous people. The only way we're righteous is in Christ. Everything we have spiritually and eternally is only in Jesus Christ. We can't even keep up with things. If we're not taught things over and over and over, we forget them. My study on the church, I'm having to go back and relearn everything I've already learned. Because it's been so long, I've forgotten it. I only remember it when I re-remember it because I re-studied it. So the Lord just keeps reminding us and reminding us and reminding us and reminding us that we are his children, created in Christ Jesus to be his children. And all these things that God, who cannot lie, God who is not a man that he should lie, has given to us eternal life, eternal security. We are God's children, and that will never, ever end, because we have been sealed, saved by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, and we've been preserved by the Father. It's hard to lose that, isn't it? Praise the Lord. All right, we'll start Sunday with the last couple of messages.